I'm sure all of us are aware there's times when you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord, that there's times that you're going to be lonely. It's like you're going to be by yourself. I can remember, I worked at a pulp mill years ago, and I can remember meeting in the hallway where people were coming off shift and I was going on or something. And some people, hi, you know, and everything. And then there's others that kind of look away from you. And I learned real early that there's a clash of spirits. You know, they have a different spirit. The world has a different spirit than what we do. And it's a clash. It's a clash. And not everyone's going to like you. I remember I had worked my way up, worked in a powerhouse, and we had four recovery boilers and kind of a long control room, probably about from here to the wall, maybe a little bit longer, on the control panel and everything. So I was a fireman in there, and I can remember sometimes some guys would come up and sit and have lunch and stuff there. I had firemen and the engineer and sometimes the cleanup man and stuff, and they would come up and have lunch. And they really gave me a bad time, really gave me a bad time. And, you know, I just learned to live with that. I just learned to not let that bug me, not let that tear me down. I realized I'm walking with God, and that's the most important thing that a person can do. And it was really interesting because one time the shift engineer, we were together, just the two of us, and he said, you know, you might wonder, how come people bug you so much? How come they're bugging you so much? He said, let me tell you something. He said, we're just wanting to find out who you really are. They're really wanting to find out whether you're the real McCoy or not. People are looking for that in the world. They're looking for somebody that's true, somebody that's walking the walk, you know, and they're really wanting to know that. And so sometimes, even though you don't seem like people are too friendly, you're being watched. And a lot of times there are, in fact, your neighbors, you know, certain time of the day, we're going out, we're going to church, you know, we come back home, and they know that. They see you going. You're going to church every Sunday. You know, going to church. You know, and they know that. And so it's really important for us to really let people know who we really are, who we really are. So the question tonight, and the title and the message is, "Who are you? Who are you? The real you." Are you who you seem to be as a result of the present or past circumstances that you can't seem to change? You know, sometimes people play church. You know, they've been in church enough to know all the words, you know, and the expressions, and they're playing church. People can see that too. People can see that too. But do you realize that God tests you to find out the real you, to find out the real you, and to reveal that to you because He wants the best for you. And in all reality, He knows who we are. He knows our heart. We can't hide our heart from God. But sometimes we need to know also. And I'd like to explore some scriptures related to who you really are and what's going on in your life. There's a story in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. This story of Job was taken during the time of the judges. In fact, Job's name is mentioned, I think, towards the last of I don't remember exactly where now, but his name is mentioned. And so it's not just a story. This really happened. Job 1:1. There was a man. There was a man. Not, this isn't just a story now. This isn't just, you know, something like that. But this, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Father, I pray this evening that you will touch our hearts. Lord, that we will grasp truths from your word. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to do what I can't do. And I just pray that you'll touch our hearts and quicken your word to it and touch these lips, Lord, to speak your word with boldness. I thank you for that. We commit our ways into your hands right now in Jesus' name. So there was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. We read about him. The Bible says the man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. The Lord said the very same thing about him. He was a man that was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. But that when you get down to verses 6 through 8, he said, now there was a day when the sons of God are really the angels. The angels have to come before God at specified times maybe or whatever. They have to come and give an account of what they're doing. So the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Now, I'm sure that Satan wasn't just walking back and forth on it, you know, going to and fro. No. Satan has a hate for God. And I believe one of the reasons why he has a hate for God, because when God was in the process of creating man, and Satan found out that man was now going to be right next to God and he was going to be below him, I believe that's really what triggered his hatred and his deal against God. And so what is he doing out there? Well, he's going around back and forth on the earth and everything for creation, for mankind to try to destroy them. He'll tell them his lies. You know, he's always promising all kinds of stuff. And I don't think you'll ever find any truth in him. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning. He's a liar. So what's he doing out there in the earth? He's going out there trying to destroy, wipe out God's creation, mankind. He's trying to tell them lies. He's trying to get them to turn from God and turn to him, because he's got a better way. He's got a better plan for them. So that's basically what he's doing. He's going back and forth, to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, now this was a kind of a deal that, yeah, wow. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So what's God doing here? It's almost like saying, sick him. You know, in a sense, don't you? Hey, he said, look, you know, you're going around and you're trying to wipe out people and you're trying to disrupt everything that I'm doing. You're trying to wipe out my creation. Here's one. Try this one out. You know, it's like God had confidence in Job. And it's almost like he's saying, I want to give you a demonstration here, Satan. I'm going to give you an opportunity here to check this man out. See what you can do. Are my ways really better than your ways? We're going to find out here. And I believe God was really putting his reputation on the line. I believe he was. You know, he was trusting that Job was going to make it through this test and not fail the test. And he was putting his confidence in Job. You know, you and I go through tests. We go through trials and everything. God allows certain things to come into our lives. And I believe God is allowing us to be tested, not only to help us realize what we really are, can we apply what He has taught us? Can we apply it and come out the victor? It's like a teacher. Teacher goes in the classroom and he teaches his class. Gets to the end of the quarter, now it's time for the exam. So the teacher gives the exam sheet out there. The teacher won't ask any, or answer any questions. No, you're on your own now. You've learned all this stuff that I've taught you. Now you got to take the test. And that's kind of like what it is with God sometimes, you know. We learn through the preaching of the Word. We learn through reading the Word ourselves and through praying and everything. We learn a lot of stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, that's the mountaintop experience. Well, then now we've got to go down in the valley and live it out. And that's where things get really interesting. And, you know, and you ever notice when you go down in the valley, where's God? Where are you, Lord? Where are you? Well, He's there. He's just allowing you now to put the knowledge that you gained and the experience that you gained, put it into practice down here in the valley. And that's what happens to all of us. You know, you're not unique. You don't look, oh, God doesn't do that to me. Well, yes, He does. Or if He hasn't, He will. So we all go through trials and tribulations. And when that happens, God is, in a sense, is really putting His reputation on the line. And so if we fail Him, it's like a mark against God. It's like, you know, if we would think about this a little bit, you know, if we fail, it's not just about us. It's about people around us, and it's about Almighty God Himself, who is allowing us to be tested. And I'll get into some more of this in a little bit. But He's allowing us to be tested, and He's putting His reputation on the line. But this is what God says about Job. He said, if you consider a servant Job, there's none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So many people have heard about Job and his trials, but not many people understand what those trials were all about and what God was trying to accomplish. Nor do they realize that Job suffered as he did so that God's people today might learn from his experiences how to be patient in suffering and endure to the end. Now, one thing about us, we get to read the first part of Job where it tells about what's going on in heaven. We get to see that. Job didn't. Just all of a sudden, this thing was coming down on him. He didn't know what was what, how come, what's going on, how come. You know, I'm reminded of the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses says, okay, if you do these kind of things and these kind of things and these kind of things, God will bless you. But if you do these kind of things and these kind of things, God's going to curse you and you're going to be in trouble. Okay? So, okay, I've been doing all these good things all along and everything, and all of a sudden, I'm over here. God, I'm not supposed to be over here. Why am I being plagued like these people are when I've been doing everything that's right? You know, we have to learn to trust God no matter what seems to come our way. We need to trust God. We need to believe that He knows what He's doing and He's going to take care of us. But we need to understand that. But Job suffered as he did so that God's people today might learn from his experiences how to be patient in suffering and endure to the end. That's what I love about the Word. You know, we can learn some things in the Word so that we don't have to go through those problems that other, that some of the people back there did. Even in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the children of Israel out there. They did these things and these things and these things. And they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, so that we can learn from those things and not do those things. So all of us go through trials and temptations. And God is in the process of making us like Christ. And it reminds me of the Israel being delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. They had a slave mentality. And when God brought them out, he had to get rid of that slave mentality and had to get them on a different level, a different plane, something that he had to mature them, you know, and make them more like the Lord. And we have been born in a world, sinful world. We've been raised in it. We've been taught. We need, when we're born again and come into the kingdom of God, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, but we have to learn our new destiny in God. We become a part of God's family, and we must learn to trust in His ability and power to equip us to be like Him and to be His witnesses in all the earth and bringing many souls with us into the kingdom. But one day is going along, all of a sudden, just in one day, just think about it. He lost all of his wealth. The camels, the sheep, the donkeys, the whole works. He lost the whole works, went away. And then a wind came and blew the building down over his children, and he lost all 10 of his children. Now, Job knew what had happened, but he did not know why it happened. And that's the crux of the matter. Because the author allows us to visit the throne room of heaven and hear God and Satan speak. We know who caused the destruction and why he was allowed to cause it. And could I say this? You know, in all reality, if a person's a Christian, and yeah, tragic accidents happens to them, and we're not to sorrow like those people out there in the world. We're not to sorrow like them. They'll do all kinds of stuff, you know, because they don't understand. They don't know where this person's gone, or they don't know the whole thing. But we're Christians. And when a Christian dies, no matter how bad it is, when he dies, yes, we miss them. We lose them, you know, and we miss them terribly. But we have to remember, we can't give up. We can't quit. He's in the better place. He's with the Lord. Hallelujah. And we need to understand that. There's several truths emerge from this scene. First of all, God is sovereign in all things. He is on the throne of heaven. The angels do his will and report to him. Number two, Satan has access to God's throne in heaven. Oh, I didn't know he had access. Well, he's in the book of Revelation, he's called the accuser of the brethren. So he has to be able to have access to get up there to accuse us. So Satan has access to God's throne in heaven. Now, God found no fault with Job, but Satan did. And God may not find any fault with you if you're walking with the Lord and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and everything. God may not find any fault with you. But the devil will. He'll come along and he'll remind you of things way back. Maybe you did. Cover it. It's under the blood, Satan. You know, get out of here. Don't bug me. But Satan will always come and accuse people. He'll accuse the brethren. Now, Satan can touch God's people only with God's permission. And only go so far. With Job, he was allowed to take all his possessions. Then the second time he came back, he was able to touch his body, mess his body up, but not his life. God uses it for their good and for his glory. Phillips Brooks said, "The purpose of life is the building of character through truth. God is at work in our lives to make us more like Jesus Christ. And he can even use the attacks of the devil to perfect us. He can use anybody to perfect us. He can use anybody even to give us instruction. Sometimes somebody that you know is out in the world and they'll mention something and it resonates all of a sudden. They maybe didn't mean it. They don't even know what they said maybe. But, you know, it's like something clicks in the Holy Spirit and you know you just got something from the Lord. Through our testings, God is giving us the ability or the privilege of bringing glory to his name. Or, if we fail, bringing dishonor to his name. And I think if we would keep that in mind, you know, if we have a choice, we're coming here on this road and all of a sudden it splits. It goes two different ways. This way is the way of righteousness and holiness and the way of God. This way, the devil's trying to distract us and throw out some of his lies there, try to suck you into this, going this direction. We need to be mindful of those directions. And if we go the wrong way, we're bringing dishonor to God. I believe that even the angels of God were in disbelief when God allowed Satan as a serpent to tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden. Imagine God creating the heaven, creating the earth. And then he puts mankind in it. And the angels are standing around watching. They're probably clapping their hands. Yay, you know. And then all of a sudden, he's allowing the serpent to come in and tempt Eve. I have a feeling that really disturbed the angels. I don't believe they really understood that. But you know what? God didn't create us and force us to love him. I remember when I was a kid, I would say to the Lord, Lord, help me make it my decision to go for you. Help me to make... No. That's if he were to do that, then that would take away free will. You see, you have to have something to choose. And that's why God allowed Satan to stay there. That's why God's allowing Satan to roam and do his thing today. He's allowing that because man has to have something to choose. You're going to choose God or you're going to choose the lies of the enemy. And you know, from my heart, I have to choose him from my heart. Not just say, yeah, I choose you, Lord. Just some lightweight thing, you know. No, from my heart, I need to choose him. Would man choose to believe and obey God? Or would they choose to obey the lies of the devil? As a result of their choice, sin came down on all mankind and we all needed to be saved. We're born again. Now we're powerless to change ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power. So God sent his only begotten Son into the world to pay the penalty for us so that we could become in right standing with God and bring us into relationship with him and deliver us from the power of death and hell. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's one of our problems. You know, in our spirit we say, yeah, but then the flesh is weak. And Jesus mentioned that to the disciples, you know, when he was praying in the garden one time. So all of us go through some kind of struggle in serving God. And we've all failed at times and we've had to repent of our sin and believe in the scripture. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how do we get the victory? Let's look at some of the scriptures. And I think about David's life, King David. King David was not a perfect man by a long shot. And yet he was considered a man after God's own heart. And David did some terrible things. I mean, he was responsible for his life. He was responsible for adultery. You know, lots of things he was responsible for. But one reason that he was a man after God's own heart, because he was swift to repent. He was quick to repent. And he loved the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. And all of us are going to make decisions at some time. We're going to fail God at some point. But we need to be like David. We need to be swift to turn back to him. Swift to, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So the Lord gives us the power. Holy Spirit gives us the power. And we all need that power of the Holy Spirit. Churches today, there's not a whole lot of churches out there that really have Holy Spirit-filled believers that speak in other languages. There's not very many of them out there. And the sad part is, as Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power. I've got a job for you to do. I'm going to send you out and everything. But you have to have that power before you go." And we need that power in order to get out there in the world. And if we don't have it, we're missing out. We're missing out on what we really need. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I want to come back to something else. Remember what Satan, when the Lord asked Satan what he was doing. He's going to and fro in the earth and walking back and forth in it, doing his thing, trying to wipe out God's creation. 2 Chronicles 16:9a. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." The eyes of the Lord. You're talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's going to and fro throughout the whole earth. So, okay, here I'm going along and everything. The devil's doing the same thing. He's going to and fro throughout the earth. And he comes and brings a temptation before me. Here I am. At the same time that is happening, if I'm saying, "Lord, I need your help right now," the Holy Spirit is right there. And so he'll give you the power. He'll give you the ability. He will, he'll bring the scripture to mind. He'll do things that will bring you on the right track and get you go in the right direction. But we have to decide. We come to that crossroads. Okay, am I going to listen to the devil or am I going to listen to God? You make the decision, then God backs you up. He isn't going to make the decision for you. You're there, you're going to have to make this decision. You're going to listen to the lies of the devil, or you're going to listen to God's word. So, okay, I'm going to go with God's word. The Holy Spirit is right there, right then, and he's able to take you through the victory. Hallelujah. But you have to make the decision. You have to make the decision. We have to decide. Romans 13:14. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Supposing somebody's having a trouble with alcohol, having a problem, and he's fighting that, you know, it's a real struggle for him, real battle for him. And he'll be back and forth. Okay? One thing I would advise to the person, once I was definitely advised, make no provision for the flesh. Do you keep some alcohol in the house? So that just in case you really want some, you can get it. So the first thing I would say, get rid of all the alcohol. And if you have to, give your wife the money or your husband the money or whatever. Give them your cash card or whatever so that you can't run down to buy a bottle of something. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Philippians 4:13. I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, no, it doesn't say that, does it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And that means everything. Whatever God asks you to do, you can do it. Hallelujah. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You present your bodies. You do it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Like I said, we've been raised in this world. We've been born into it, been raised in it, and we understand all the world's things that's going on and understand their characteristics and all of that stuff. And it's just like them. We've been in slavery. And when God saves us, we've got to get out of that mentality. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so you do that by renewing of our minds, because that's where most things attack us, in the mind. We're attacked in the mind. And so then, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, when you do that, which you can't do by yourself either, by the way. It takes God's help. But you can present your body as a living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't allow the world or the enemy to declare who you are. You know, some people, it's really sad that there's some people that have had some parents that really weren't so good. You're never going to amount to anything. You're just worthless. You probably know some people like that, you know, that have done that. I really feel bad for some kids that were raised that way, you know. Don't let the world or the enemy declare who you are. You are not a loser. I'm reminded of when the angel came to Gideon. He was hiding out, threshing grain in a wine press. So he was hiding out. The angel looked at Gideon and he said, "Behold, you mighty man of valor." Well, he hadn't done anything. He's just hiding out there trying to get some grain for his family. But what he was looking at is what Gideon would become. You see, he had a calling for Gideon. He has a calling for you and I. And he knows what you can do with that calling with God's help. Because the calling is bigger than what we can do in the natural anyway, so just forget about that. You can't do it anyway in yourself. You have to do it with God. But he knows what he wants to do through you. And use you, and we can be workers together with God. Hallelujah. And so he looks at us at what we will become, not what we seem to be. The world would say, well, that's who you are. No. Even if you haven't really moved out as far as you'd like to go, that is not me. I'm what God says I am, not what the devil says to me or what the world tells me I am. So don't allow the world or the enemy to declare who you are. You are not a loser. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you flee those youthful lusts, those things maybe you used to do. You know, they have a whole list of bad things and everything. And he says, such were some of you. Such were some of you. You wear that. But you're not that anymore. You're what God has created you to be, or what he is, has changed you to. For, 2 Peter 1, verse 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word. Read the Word. Hallelujah. Listen to the preaching. Listen to that kind of stuff. And we need to have the knowledge of God and of Jesus. We need to have that knowledge. And the more of that knowledge we get within us, the more the Holy Spirit has to work in us to help us. Because I'm sure you've been in a state too, or you're going through maybe a depression or something, and the Holy Spirit just came up and started sharing some scriptures with you. And when you start repeating those scriptures and everything, it just lifted you out of your funk. Hallelujah. And it made you victors in Christ. Glory to God. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. But he's got to have something there to work on. So that's the importance of getting into the Word. Hallelujah. So that he's got something to work on. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us a few things. Oh, no, it says, and all things. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called you, who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us these divine promises in here. And when you lay a hold of them, and when you speak them out loud before the Lord and before the world, before the devil, it's like it's creative. Jesus said, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which I purpose. Hallelujah. And so we need to grasp those promises that God has given us. And we need to use those promises, hallelujah, to beat back the devil and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. We need to read and listen to the promises in God's word that he's made for you to be victorious. Believe and declare them out loud. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says anyway, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So what you're going through, you think sometimes you're the only one going through it. No, everybody's going through that. Maybe to different degrees, but everybody's going through it. And if he hasn't yet, you will. So God helps us. He's faithful. Jesus is going to present us faultless before a throne. Hallelujah. It's his goal. He which has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Father's at work in you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son for you. Hallelujah. And so we have the victory through him. Glory to God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We have that victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would quicken it to us. Lord, we want to be like you. We want to have power over the devil. We want to have power over the things of the flesh. And we want to let our light shine before those people out in the world. Lord, let us portray before the world a heart that is true, so that they can see the real us, who we really are. It's not just us, but it's us in the Spirit, us full of God, hallelujah, full of the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, that we might do your purposes here on this earth. Lord, we commit our ways into your hands. I thank you, Lord, that you are a friend to us. Even if sometimes we're walking kind of lonely out there in the world, and it doesn't seem to be much fellowship out there, you give us your fellowship. And so, Lord, we're walking with you, we're believing you, and we're praying that you'll give us words to speak, Lord, to those that are around about us. Words of life, Lord, that will bring life to them, Lord, and bring others into the kingdom so we can bring others with us to heaven with you. Lord, move in our hearts this night. We commit our ways into your hands. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You never leave us nor forsake us. God, you're always with us. And I thank you for that power, Lord, that you give us. That power, Lord, to live for you and to walk before you and to bring glory to your name. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.